This sermon is entitled, A New Creation, Remembering St. Francis. I was surprised this week when a friend said that he did not like to take part in the blessing of the animals. What? Shocking! I was so surprised by his declaration, which called into question the goodness, the delight of this annual liturgical celebration. We love the blessing of the animals in the Episcopal Church. I was so pleased at Pride Fest yesterday, where our church had an information table, to be able to invite people to come to our service today, telling them that they could bring their animals to the service, into the building. This is shocking to many people. There we were yesterday, many of us there at the table, out in the world, entering into the events that are important in people's lives, and here we are today. This is how it should be. Here we are today, bringing part of our lives, our pets, into the church. This is what we do. We go out, we engage with life beyond these walls as the church, and also we welcome what is of the world inside our sanctuary of peace and love. But my friend was right in some ways. We do not want to focus on our animals to the exclusion of other aspects of St. Francis, because he was important for how he wanted to live in the world so as to be Christ to others, so as to show through his life what he believed being a Christian means, what it meant to live a new life in Christ, what it means to be part of God's new creation. St. Francis is known for having said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if you must, use words." But let's not leave the animals too soon. Our animal friends, those who live with us, those we admire in the wild, animals teach us important lessons about being part of God's creation, being a creature of God, in our case, human. Our animals, for the most part, are loving, right, and giving, at peace with themselves and ready to be with us. Animals know their place in creation. As our gospel reading from Matthew indicates today, wisdom and intelligence are not needed to commune with God. In fact, in the way that animals trust and rely upon us, we can learn about our true relationship to God. God who in Christ invites us to be yoked. Yoked to Christ in the sense of letting Jesus carry our burden, share the burden with us, and that he in fact will carry the majority of it for us. It is right and good that we can celebrate with our animals today God's good gift to us, an important part of God's creation. You may have heard it said that in fact the most dangerous animal on the planet is man, humanity. The human race has had an impact on this planet that we are having to face. There are those who will say, even claim as religious truth, that God will take care of all this. God will take care of the planet, or that the earth was created for humans and we can pretty much do what we want with it. People of religion say these things. We have a lot of baggage to deal with as people of faith. For a long time, people read the creation accounts found in the book of Genesis. There is more than one. If you haven't noticed, go and read. There's more than one, and both have been used in a way that was to say that humans are the rulers of creation. For a long time, that was the way it was read and explained. But now we translate and understand that to mean something totally different, that we are stewards of creation. We do not rule this planet, but are stewards of it. And at this time in history, we do need to be aware of the issues and seek to do what we can to be part of positive action when it comes to creation for all of God's creatures. Science and faith, as we know and understand in this church, are not at odds, but can be partners working together for better practices for the environment, for God's creation. The Adult Formation Committee met this past week. We previewed a program that will soon be offered here, an adult ed program on Sunday mornings entitled Painting the Stars, Painting the Stars. It addresses issues of science and faith. When I mentioned this to a reporter from the Times-Dispatch yesterday, she got really excited. This is big news still for many people in our world to learn that people in churches believe in science as well, that we trust science. In my adult confirmation class last year, two very well-educated young adults were surprised to learn that I believe in evolution. They were really shocked, and that they could too and still be Christians. And when I explained this to them, one of them said, "Well, I like the Episcopal Church even more now." And the other one was going, yeah, this is good stuff. I don't think those two young adults are alone. I wonder how many people don't go to any church because they think we don't believe in evolution or that we are somehow at odds with science. Now, of course, the reason to help the environment is to help the environment. But it will also help the church to partner with those of any religion or no religion who are working on issues such as food sustainability, water management, clean air, climate change, protecting our animals, endangered and soon to be endangered, and plants, and much more. There's so much more in this area. On our Holy Comforter blog, Life Together, you can read reflections from our church members who attended a conference last week on food sustainability. On October 13th, you can join our trip to a farm, a local farm, to learn more about issues of food, animals, and the environment. You can also join the HOCO Eco. I love that. That's the nickname for our Stewardship of Creation group. And you can join that to learn and to work with others in the church who are passionate about these issues. Holy Comforter cares about the creation. As stewards of God's creation, it is the mission of the church to be involved in such environmental issues. Being such stewards will also help our church to grow in membership. And again, that's not why we do it, but I believe that it will be a result, as it has already been. Because when faith, the faith we hold, intersects in meaningful and effective ways with the concerns of others in our world, people notice. They notice this. In fact, it surprises a lot of people that we're not all spiritual. You know, there's still this dualism among some, and a lot of people think churches are like this. Our spirituality is known in the concrete reality of our lives, how we live, how God is known to us in the world. And through the resurrection of Christ, God made the whole creation new. It was the first day of the new creation, Easter Sunday. Go and read the different resurrection accounts. You'll hear it again and again, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. That's what we hear in John's Gospel. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. The first day of the week, these words are used to remind us of the creation story in Genesis. Just as God created in the beginning, God gives us a new beginning, a new creation. And we heard in Paul's letter to the Galatians, a new creation is everything. It's everything. The coming of Christ redeems all of creation, not just humanity, all of creation, making it new. And we as stewards of the creation and followers of Christ, we are called to care for this fragile earth, our island home. Some will say, well, if it's a new creation, God has already taken care of it. Well, yes and no. We experience the first fruits of God's new creation now through faith and through our faith community. But God also calls us to be partners in this ongoing process of creation, to rely on our faith, to be strengthened by our faith, to have hope when others throw up their hands and say, "It's too hard, what can I do?" Our concern for the creation is much like our concern for matters of social justice. If you think about it that way, we'll see it's very, very similar. Yes, there's a new creation, but there's still poverty, there's still hunger in this world. Through our faith, through our experience of God in word, prayer, and community, we know that we're called to care for those in need, those in prison, those who are marginalized by the majority. We know we are called to advocate for peace in this world in every way, to be people of peace and justice. None of this is simple or easy, but you are doing it. You are doing it. We are trying by education and action to engage these issues and make a difference. People thought St. Francis was crazy, out of his mind. He threw off his clothes, gave everything away. People are probably going to think we're crazy too and challenge us. And in fact, that's how we know we're doing the work of Christ, right? Jesus' work in the world, when people are surprised, maybe even angered, want to challenge us, that's okay. St. Francis was about so much more than animals. He was about helping the poor. And as we will say today, that prayer attributed to St. Francis following communion, that is a beautiful prayer that helps us know more of what St. Francis was about. Something I learned not too long ago was that he was involved for peace during a great conflict of his time, the Crusades. Did you know that in 1216, St. Francis left the Crusader camp where he was, broke through enemy lines, so that he could meet with the Muslim leader, the young Sultan of Egypt? Chris von Groder, a scholar of Christian-Muslim relations at Baylor University, asserts that St. Francis, a former soldier, was driven by compassion to do this. Some have said he was trying to convert them, but I believe, as with this scholar, that first, it was about compassion, a hatred of war, a desire to learn from others, and a desire to build bridges of mission. Mission, reconciliation, and healing was the mission. So why is St. Francis associated with animals? He's said to have had a way with them, but there's so much more to it, I think. In the innocence of our animals, we have a taste of the new creation. By bringing animals into the church building, we are offering a symbol to the world that we care about all of God's creation. I hold this practice of blessing animals, that it is not sentimental, maybe why some people think we shouldn't be doing it. It's not sentimental, but rather deeply meaningful and even provocative. To welcome creation into the church is to make a statement about faith. And our statement is that the creation matters. The creation is holy, and we are stewards of creation. To bless an animal is to welcome the blessings of animals into our lives and our hearts. Amen.